Picture, parking lot, concert getting ready to happen later that evening. Sitting next to a car with a couple of buddies I just met. Bus. A hippie bus. And to all you out there, just to let you know, I do relate to you still, although it's been many years, thank God. You can hear this. So that I do understand some of what you've gone through or are going through. And you can't keep going around saying, nobody understands. You'd be surprised how many people do understand. And we're sitting there. I met these two guys, you know. I don't even remember how the conversation was going because it's usually not normal. But we're starting to giggle a little bit. And all of a sudden, this guy, he takes this balloon. And it was a big balloon. And you don't need to have an altered state to enjoy this. He starts to blow it up. You know, we're just looking at first. It's like, there's a guy blowing a balloon up. But then it gets big. And it's getting bigger. So he's got our full attention now. Now he's gotten it to the point where you're going, that feeling of, but you're giggling because there's something funny about it. You don't understand what. And it's huge. And this thing's, it's got to burst. It's just huge. It's huge. And all of a sudden, out of the peripheral vision, comes storming off the bus. This individual comes right over, gets right in his face, big balloon in her face, and says, don't you dare. I have a kid sleeping on the bus right now. And if you wake that kid up, just goes off on him. We're standing back, and he sits and he goes, and you can imagine the moment. I exploded. The kid next to him exploded. We couldn't stop. And, of course, that made her even more mad. And it was just perfect. The balloon was so big. It lasted so long. It would have been better for her to keep her mouth shut. Trust me. Well, you say, why do you say that? Well, that was a funny moment, and I held on to it. But there is a parallel. I tell you for sure, as a child of God walking with the Lord, do not be fearful when something comes up against you when you're in the middle of doing a work. Especially when you're at that moment and you're like, oh, and you're just so excited because something's getting ready to happen. And if it doesn't exactly happen like you're anticipating it happen, I promise you that if you will respond to your adversary, to your problem that just arose to stop it, that the thing that follows will be a lot better than you ever imagined. It'll be 100% bigger and better. Do you realize that if the balloon had blown, that would have been cool? But if that guy didn't answer to the situation the way he did, that moment wouldn't have been even cooler. And we weren't even thinking about that was going to happen because she wasn't even a part of the picture. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Lord has the same way of doing things. So when you get to that moment, you know, this is it. This is it. And you have opposition. Answer the opposition properly. And watch what God does after that, as a result of you acting right instead of getting offended. You know what I'm saying? He could have just done it anyways. He could have held it and said, get out of here. This is a rock concert. What do you mean your kid's sleeping on the bus? All that could have happened and it would not have been as great. Had he just, he bit his tongue, didn't say a word to her, never got mad. And needless to say, when she stormed off, we decided it was time for us to move ourselves. And we went our ways. But don't be afraid of opposition. It's how you respond to it. That's your key. That's how you, God can do anything. And I have a feeling he's got it set up to where it's your response as to the direction we're going. And I believe that's a major part of it. God's good. I said all that just to try to tickle you, paint the picture, because it was hilarious. It was absolutely, had no idea what was getting ready to happen. And go to the book of John. In the 8th chapter, I'll go ahead and I'll just read this first part. So those of you who do like to reverence the reading of the Word of God, which I am one of those, you'll be able to sit back down. That's the reason why we stand. It's just in respect to the Word of God. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. This they said, tempting him, that they might have an excuse. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. I'm just here to say I appreciate the fact that God, one time, reached down and gave life to earth. And then that earth messed up and died. What? That's what happened. So you know what he did? He reached down and touched it again and gave life to earth again. That's the picture that's being painted there, and I thank God for it. It's that simple. Neither do I condemn thee, is what he says in a few minutes. We're taught to not have anything wrong with us so that people can't hold something against us. These people, man, they could not get a thing against him. They were ready to stone her. They had stones in their hands. This is something that this would not have been a first. That's the mindset of the children of Abraham back then. The mindset was, she's to be stoned, and we're ready to do it. And this isn't going to be the first one I've done. As a matter of fact, I like to do this, and I'm ready to do it. All right, now I'm looking into it my way, but hey, you know what? If you did it once, it should have been enough to horrify you that you'd never do it again. Even if it is the Word of God, you'd be pleading for God not to let you be a part of it. These guys weren't having a hard time showing up. That's a murderous heart. I want to kill. That's what that says. John 8. Still, our pastor preached on this. I had this on my heart. So I decided to continue. What is this all about? It's all about not making you feel bad, but causing you to realize you probably already do feel bad. And that you're just hiding it. And you're lying to yourself. You're lying to the people around you. You're living a lie. It doesn't mean you're doing cocaine when I say that. It means you're just living a lie. It doesn't take doing cocaine to live a lie. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I lived for several years of my elder teenage years horrified, but yet acting like everything was great. And if you heard my conversation, it was, this is awesome, this is cool, this is great. We're living high. But behind the scene, I was trying to figure out a way, if I wasn't so scared, thank God I was, to end it all. Well, that made a lot of sense. Some of the people around you act like they're high and mighty, and yet some of them are going to take their lives. What? Yeah, I am trying to scare you, because I want you to wake up and hear the Word of God, because the Word of God is doing exactly that. It's trying to cause you to wake up. It's trying to cause you to be able to hear the Word of God. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. It's what I've been always saying. I have many things to say and to judge of you. He that sent me is true. I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake of them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. My Lord, that we'd all, always does not leave any space of ever, not one time, doing something that doesn't please God. Always means always. Everything. Not just spiritually, not just mentally. Everything I've done pleases God. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Okay, so there's a bunch of believers. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. He's not talking to anybody other than those that believed. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So he's talking to those that just said, wow, there's something to Jesus. There's something to Jesus. But listen to the rest of the conversation. If ye continue in my word, here it is. We all get this. I'm talking about those who come to the Lord. This is what you'll hear the Lord say. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Now, they've already got their feathers ruffled. It hasn't even been 5 minutes of believing, and they're already getting ruffled by the one that they've just started to believe. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. If you're committing sin, then you are the servant of sin. Period. That goes for today, too. Because you cannot be in Christ, who always is pleasing to God, if you got sin going on in your life. That's what the Word of God says. This is the Word of God. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So he's opening up the opportunity. It's open for you guys to be a part of this. You can do this, is what he's saying. You just continue in this way. Whatever the word says, do, do it. And you, I promise you, you won't be let down. That's what Jesus is saying. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed. You know, you're not telling me something new. But ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. Wow. That's the people that just started believing. And he's telling them, you seek to kill me. Can you imagine? All right. But he's talking to them. But he's reaching for them. He's giving them opportunity. I often wonder later on down the road how many of these actually got in. I'm sure quite a few of them did. Because it hadn't yet been given. But we're without excuse. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your Father. These are the people that just started believing that he's telling these things to, who are the seed of Abraham. And he even said, I know you're the seed of Abraham. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Abraham wasn't trying to kill me. So why are you? And you're saying you're the children of Abraham? I know you're the seed of Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. And he's not talking about Abraham because he just said, Abraham didn't try to kill me. I know what's in your heart. We can relate with this because we understand when we put it out there that Jesus' name is absolute. Jesus' name is essential. That there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. That gleam in your eyes is of that, I wish I could kill you right now. And I promise you, if it was acceptable in the land today, you'd hear a whole lot more about somebody getting stoned. Yep. Yep. Right. For somebody being burned at a stake. Yep. It would happen on a regular basis. So thank God we do have laws in this land that still come against people for trying to do mean things. I thank God for it. At the moment, at least, I don't have to worry about getting stoned. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. So now they've stepped up. All right, the Abraham thing's not working. Let's just go outright and say, God's our Father. It's amazing, this conversation. It's not like this was over a couple of weeks or something. This, from belief to this is what's in your heart. You say you believe me. Well, I'm showing you what's in your heart. And now it's denial. Denial. I'm not as bad as you say I am. I'm actually okay, as a matter of fact. Just because I don't do the Word of God like you say to do it. How long have we been saying this over and over again? How come you can't hear it? I know why, because you don't have the Spirit of God. You're of your father, the devil. That's why. That's what he's getting ready to say. And he keeps saying over and over again, how come you can't hear this? But he knows the answer. So he answers it himself here in just a second. If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because ye cannot hear my word. And that's what we keep saying to you. But the Lord says, preach it anyways. And that's what we're doing. In hopes that one of y'all will just somehow lay it down and say, forget about it. I'm going to go ahead and go with the word of God. Because that's what it is all about. If Jesus can go through this, I think so can I. And think, like I said, right now, y'all ain't trying to kill me. So, hey, praise God. At least I don't know that you are. You're of your father, the devil. That sounds so mean, but it's just a way of saying, wake up. Listen to what's being said. It's one or the other. My kids don't sin. They don't. If one of them messes up and I give them a swift boot, they go back to the cross. They have an understanding of what the cross is truly all about. If they goof up, it happens. Thank God that we're not Lucifer. He got one chance, messed up, and he's gone. And I don't have sympathy for the devil. I'm not there. But thank God he gave us another chance. And an understanding of another chance. But I tell you what, the true children of God don't continue with that understanding. As if to mock God. Because God's not mocked. That's the word of God too. So if you're continuing to sin after knowing this truth, you're fooling yourself right now. And you're not fooling God. And you might think that you're all right. I confess and believe that Jesus is Lord. Do you understand what you're saying when you say that? That Jesus is Lord. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, that which was and is to come. In other words, he is the Almighty. That's what he says later on in the book of Revelation. There's only one Almighty. Herein is why Jewish people have a hard time with what they see as Christianity. Because most of Christianity is preaching a three-person God. I call it Christianity because it's labeled as Jesus people, but it's not Christianity. Christianity is people doing the will of God. Those are the ones that are called Christian. Why? Because they're Christ-like. If you got sin in your life, you're not Christ-like. It doesn't matter how many of his deeds you go around and try to do, you're still not Christ-like. Because the Word of God clearly declares the only way you can be Christ-like is to have Christ in you. That's what makes you Christ-like. That's why we preach the Holy Ghost. Because if the Holy Ghost isn't there, that means Christ isn't there. Because Christ is the Holy Ghost. So the only way you can be Christian, which is Christ-like, is to have Christ in you. So why do we get so vehement? It's because we're excited about the fact that we have received that which was promised to us. Jesus promised it to us. And Peter stood up and said, hey, I'm a man of God. Why? Because I've received the promise that Joel talked about so many years ago. I got the Holy Ghost. And you can have it too. You bunch of murderers. Hey, it was a few days ago. He was part of that crowd. But he got washed clean. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. And he was able to separate himself and stand apart from that crowd. And he was able to look at them and say, you bunch of murderers. You killed the King of Glory. You did this. And that sounds mean. And that sounds like, oh, you know what? Oh, wow. You know what the answer for you is? It's to just, instead of getting offended because you feel like we're mean and coming at you and take things away from you and realize that, wait a second. It's not these people that are saying it. They truly are getting it from the Bible. It's truly here. And if that's true, I wonder what else is true that I've missed all these years. That's where you need to get to. If you can get there and start asking those kind of questions, there's hope for you. And I have to say there's hope for everybody, but not everybody's grabbing hold of this. Not everybody's going to grab it. But the hope is available. If you're breathing, hope is available to you. I'm starting to understand more things over many years. The hope is available. You know, everybody has been forgiven. That's the Word of God. This is one place people get hung up. Everybody has been forgiven. Not everybody gets washed and has their sins removed. Therein is the key factor. Not everybody gets born again. Without the forgiveness, you could not get washed clean if there was no forgiveness. That's right. So everybody has been forgiven. Yes, you're right when you say that. But being forgiven does not get you into heaven. It's an element. It's a starting point. He had to do it in order for us to be able to do what we need to do. That's why we preach this message over and over and over and over and over again. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Now he's telling his believers this. He's telling the people who just started believing that you can't hear me. You're not hearing it. You're not hearing what's going on. Now he's gone from someone they believe to, you might have a devil in you. Then answered the Jews, and he said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast the devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. What a beautiful thing. Read this and hear how he's reaching. In the midst of telling you that you're a devil, not of God, he's still reaching for you. The whole point of him telling you that you're of your father, the devil, is to reach for you and get you to realize, hey, if you've got sin in your life, we're all born into this world of sin and not by choice. Everybody is a sinner at that point. But that's what Calvary is all about. And that's what we preach Calvary so strong for. And that's what all of these people in the Old Testament were pointing to. Everything he spoke was something that you and I were going to be able to read about someday. Events that took place that were so precise. Everything he does is in set purpose. And there is not an intention with God. God does or does not. He doesn't intend to do anything. People intend to do things. God doesn't intend. Intending means there could be a failure. God doesn't fail. People fail. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not, and they're still looking on the flesh. Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? I hope somebody can get something out of this. I do, believe it or not, care about what you have to say about me, what you think about me, if I bore you, as in here and then out there. And not to the point where I'm just going to boo-hoo and cry about it. But I'm concerned, is this reaching anybody? I had a thought back there just a little while ago. I have at least 20 more years in me, technically speaking. I did not wake up 10 years after I got a hold of this truth one day, or 10 years ago I was married, and say, Jen! I went to bed, I was 200 pounds, I woke up, I'm 350 pounds! It didn't happen. I can't say, God, you got to get rid of this for me. I can't go to church and expect to say, Lord, when I wake up tomorrow, I expect to be 200 pounds lighter. I've never, ever, ever, ever heard of it or seen it done. Nobody has ever. I've never heard it. Now, I've heard people say, you know what? God gave me the right mind and I just lost 400 pounds. It took me 9 months to do it, but I did it. I've heard that before. But there are just some things. I can't promise you. God can do it. I've just never seen it nor heard it. There are some things that you let happen about you And you know what's going on the whole time. And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And the whole time you're saying, I got to deal with this. 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 And years go by. And you haven't dealt with it. It's so big now, nearly impossible to deal with. And you see people do it, and that doesn't mean that's them. That's not you. You still got to come to that point of wanting to deal with it. That's the problem. The problem is you don't want to deal with it. I like my Big Macs and my triple quarter pounders with cheese. Thank God for Dave at Wendy's coming up with the triple before he died. No, I'm kidding. I'm being funny, but that's the mindset. And it's not always spoken, but it's there. All right, I know y'all want to go. God's good. And I'm telling you right now, there are things in some people's lives, and not only this, you know what? Last thing on this note is, if you can deal with something like this, and you can get that mindset in order, I know this to be true, then there's other things spiritually that really do matter that you'll also be able to deal with. You'll learn how to make yourself do things. The first and number one and most important thing will be, you'll be making your flesh sit down and shut up. And that's what you need to do. Am I not right? Does that mean anybody that's fat? I'll tell you what, being fat don't help anything. I'm glad I'm fat at this moment to say this, because being fat doesn't help one single thing. Physically, mentally, or spiritually. Not one thing. There's nothing good about being fat. And that's a fat man saying it, so I have a right to say it. If you got something good about being fat, you tell me and show me. And then I'll reconsider this statement. But if you're a fatso, like I am, there's not one good thing about it. Not one. Tell me one. Ain't none of you got it. Because it's not there. You know what I did? I just put myself... You know, there's people mad at me right now. I didn't get you where you're at. I had enough with myself. I'm being a little, funny. But come on, don't be mad at me. Because what I said, I'm finishing with the thought, is if you can start dealing with it, and don't give me all these excuses, well, I got this problem, I got that problem. Like, you know what? I guarantee you most of those problems showed up after you started getting big, not before. All the health issues I've had, I've all showed up as a result of being fat, not before I got fat. Go ahead and turn that one spiritual and think about it. All the issues you got didn't show up first to cause you to start having issues with God. The issue came, and then all the other stuff showed up. And that's how it is. If you want a good starting point and you're a big person like I am, I don't hate you. I don't hate fat people. I don't hate myself. As one person said, I like you, but I like me more. And I want to do right. And I got to somehow get my mindset right. And I know if I can do it with one simple thing, and that be deal with me. If I can deal with me, that'll start to snowball into other areas of my life, which will start to make things better for you. So all you fat people out there, unite. And start going to Weight Watchers or something. I don't know. I'm watching my wife. She just lost 10 pounds in the last couple of weeks. And I'm still sitting there saying, maybe I really should get up out of this chair and set that coffee down and set that sandwich down, roll up that bag of chips and say, the track's only a mile away. I should go for a walk. It's actually warm out there. Well, maybe tomorrow. Don't do that with God. Don't do that with God.
Amen. A very great message. Amen. And a lot to chew on there. Spiritually speaking. Amen. I lost 75 pounds. And we've had some church people, just to show you how often they attend this church. They came to church, we had a wonderful service, and the next time they came, they said, "Where'd the rest of you go?" So to them, it was as if, just from service to service, 75 pounds disappeared. But what was wrong with the picture was the fact that they just weren't going to church enough, because that meant that they hadn't showed up in about 6 months. Amen. And there are other people who say, I don't quite understand, because they see our video and instantly I'm transformed from 225 pounds to 145 pounds. And then back to 225 pounds and back to... But that's video. What you don't see is the time in between. I'm getting ready to introduce the Fat Stompers Quartet. And I have a large library of the Fat Me singing. And I'm going to be surrounded by the way you see me now, singing along with the man who needed to get rid of that weight. So we're the ones who will agree with Brother Mike. It can be done. And he's going to surprise a lot of you. Some of you don't go to church that often. Next time you come, you may not recognize Brother Mike. Of course, that may be 9 months from now, but we hope you will come soon. Praise God. Amen. I know the feeling of sitting there with my hand in the chips. I woke up with my hand in the bag many times. And another extra full bag in case I ran out during the night. Praise God. I'm going to sing a song. You can be seated, then we're going to go home. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Like a babe when it cries for its mother, like a child I was helpless, alone. Then I met the Master. Now I am one of His own. All things were changed when He found me. A new day broke through all around me. I met the Master. Now I belong to Him. For all things were changed when He found me. A new day broke through all around me. I met the Master. Now I belong to Him. Like a blind man who walked in the darkness, lost and helpless and alone. Then I met the Master. Now I am one of His own. And all things are changed since He found me. A new day broke through all around me. I met the Master. Now I belong to Him. All things were changed when He found me. A new day broke through all around me. I met the Master.
to Him. I met the Master.
Is He your Master? Do you love Him? Now let's stand and praise Him. Let's praise the Lord. We've heard a good message tonight. Had a good service tonight. Amen. 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 And I encourage all of you to spread the word, and all of you out there, spread the word. Let's watch this service again. Let's hear this word again. Let's feel this blessing again. Let's let others get in on it. And it'll be right here where you're watching us now. And all of you know where NorwichTabernacle.com is. Go there, click on it, watch it again, and just let the Lord bless you. A lot of times, the second time around, something that you might have missed really helps you to get blessed.
Oh, the devil, he wears a hypocrite's shoe. You know the devil, he wears a hypocrite's shoe. Don't you know the devil, he wears a hypocrite's shoe. If you don't watch out, he's slipping on you. There's no hiding place down here. Oh, there's no hiding place down here, my brother, sister. No hiding place down here. This morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind just stayed on Jesus. I woke up this morning with my mind just stayed on Jesus. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Oh, the devil don't like it because my mind is stayed on Jesus. The devil don't like it because my mind is stayed on Jesus. Me.
Oh Lord,
somebody touched me,
and I know it was the Lord. He touched me and I turned around.
When he touched me,
he touched me and I turned around.
Somebody touched me,
he touched me and I turned around.
Somebody touched me,
and I know it was the Lord.
Touch me,
and I know it.
You sound more like newlyweds. Absolutely. That's that camp meeting spirit, isn't it? Great. Beautiful singing. Wonderful. Let's glorify the Lord again.